We have Elizabeth Taylor on this show, or actress Kara Boyle, who plays Elizabeth Taylor, in a show called Call Me Elizabeth, but she really is Elizabeth Taylor, also the playwright of this production. And Michael Weber, artistic director, is on the phone as well from the Porch Light Theater. How are you both?
Great. How are you, Steve?
I am well, thank you. You know, I must say, you were just amazing, Kayla. And the production, you know, when you watch on a computer screen and you've seen some of these virtual productions, some of them look pretty good. And this one just looks great. It looks like you are right there on stage in front of me. And because you're talking to, and we'll talk about this in a bit, but you're talking throughout the show, it's a one-woman show, and you're talking to the journalist, I believe, or author, who is
yes.
interviewing Elizabeth Taylor, you're looking at us. So in a way, Elizabeth Taylor is talking to all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for watching. I appreciate it.
Is that what you had in mind, knowing that this was going to be virtual? And or maybe you didn't know and you wrote it. I don't know. But that, by looking right out into the camera, you're looking at in a very different way than most virtual productions are, where you see them on stage saying, yes, I did it. I was the one responsible. No, you weren't. And people are talking back and forth with one another, and it's entertaining, it's interesting, but you're talking to the audience in a very, what's the right word for it? A very intimate way.
Yes, I think intimate is a great way to describe it. Actually, I had wrote the piece with that in mind. I was hoping to do it in person. Hopefully, I still will at some point, having the journalist be the audience. And I was just so lucky that it translated very well to the filmed media. It just, you're really true. It adds that level of intimacy to it. And it's almost as if you're watching some kind of Dateline special, right? Or some
yeah.
kind of 2020 where she's talking to the camera and to her interviewers. So I think it really, really worked out well, and I'm glad you connected with it.
I sure did. Michael, when whoever came to you, and it may have been Kayla, and said, I want to do this story about Elizabeth Taylor, I hope you're sitting down, Michael, but this is the truth. There are people on this planet, generally under the age of 25 or 30 or something, who don't even know who Elizabeth Taylor happens to be. So did you say, I'm not sure that's contemporary enough, or did you instantly say, ah, this is right?
Well, first of all, I mean, the connection of doing this piece of Porchlight Music Theater was Kayla Boy, who has been an artist who has worked with us many times in productions of like Billy Elliot and Little Me and Can Can, things like that. So our audiences know Kayla as a music theater artist. What they did not know is that she's also a very fine writer and producer and actor. And so it was a no-brainer to collaborate with her in this idea. Elizabeth Taylor, though, you know, she's one of those legendary performers. There are very few of them. I mean, we're somebody whose career goes back to childhood in the 1940s when she came up being a star in movies with Mickey Rooney and things like that. But then, of course, her life went on very substantially beyond her acting career into her advocacy for issues related to AIDS and support that really became inspired from her friendship with Rock Hudson. So I think that she is just one of those classic Americans and classic artists that people do know generationally. The moment that Kayla, though, chose to write about is a very particular moment in Elizabeth Taylor's life, and that makes for great drama. So it was really a no-brainer, the combination of Kayla writing about something that she felt very passionate about and just a person who is a really interesting American artist that I thought, this is a great match for us at Porchlight.
And in fact, that's, of course, correct. You chose a slice of her life between whatever year it was and whatever year it was, between whatever marriage it was and whatever marriage it was among her many marriages. So, in fact, the show ends by her saying, a movie with Richard Burton? You know, so So at least you know, friends, where we are. She hadn't met Richard Burton yet, or had met him at some pool party or something, but hadn't made any films with him at that point. So this was pre-Richard Burton. She talks about the loves of her life, the losses of her life, and sadly, it seems to me, the loves of her life were people that she could not get or even talk about publicly at that point in time because they were gay. And they turned out to be the people she most trusted. Have I got that right?
Yes, absolutely. Her friends were her longest relationships: Montgomery Clift, Rock Hudson, James Dean, even though his life was tragically cut short, Roddy McDowell. Those gay men influenced her, you know, more than any of her husbands, I would say, and those were the relationships that lasted the most. And in the piece, she talks a little bit about how they had to live shadow lives under the Hollywood era of you don't talk about that, and if you do, you're out of work. Like, it wasn't allowed. And so when the AIDS crisis came about, she was spurred into action to finally be able to do something to defend these wonderful people in her life and show that this is an issue not just affecting the gay community. I mean, at first, that was the primary target of that pandemic. But, you know, we should all be concerned as human beings to take care of one another, regardless, you know, of who you love. That shouldn't affect, you know, your standing in society. So I think she was one of the early champions in our pop culture for that movement.
Oh, she was. I remember, and it was a terrible time. I mean, you know, people were afraid. You know, then they were terrified because they didn't understand what the disease was all about. In some ways, not too different with what we're dealing with today, or at least what we dealt with at the very beginning of the pandemic. What most surprised you, Michael, if anything, about Elizabeth Taylor?
Well, I think just her unbelievable resiliency. This is a woman who had enormous physical pain throughout her life that she had to manage. Because of different accidents that she had, and as well as just the emotional toll of going through the studio system in Hollywood and being, to some degree, I don't think it's hyperbole to say being a survivor of that and somebody who ultimately thrived. But at the moment that Taylor also is looking to dramatize, it's at the loss of her greatest love with the death of the very famous producer Mike Todd. And, you know, watching somebody who had to navigate going on in the public eye when this person has died at a time when the American public's relationship with media was very different than it is now, where everything, everybody's every move is exposed. But then in the 50s and the 60s even still, people tried to keep up a certain image, and you had to navigate it frequently through very trying circumstances. And Elizabeth Taylor is somebody who really was able to champion that and make it work for herself, while at the same time dealing sometimes with physical as well as great emotional turmoil.
And indeed, Michael Todd, from what I watched, turned out to be the love of her life, and she talks about that in a very tender way. And there was a connection, certainly, with Chicago and Michael Todd. When we come back, we'll talk about that. If you have questions for our own Elizabeth Taylor, how many radio shows have their own Elizabeth Taylor? Actress Kara Boyle is here, Michael Weber, artistic director of the Porchlight Theater, and we will be back. Kayla Boyle, who's the writer and actor and a producer of Call Me Elizabeth, also artistic director of the Porchlight Music Theater, Michael Weber. So I was asking you, and I'll ask you, Michael, we were talking about Mike Todd, who is one of the 47 husbands Elizabeth Taylor had or something. And there was a big Chicago connection there, wasn't there?
Well, certainly. I mean, Mike Todd was one of the great showmen. I mean, more than just a producer, he was somebody who everything ended up being an extravaganza with him. One of the interesting significant points about Mike Todd's relationship with Chicago, and I'm not sure if this is the one that you're going for, but where the Goodman Theater is right now, there are, when you walk there, there are two theaters, the older facades, that beautiful marble that's out in front. And if you look at the top, those theaters were the Selwyn and the Harris. And back in the day, Mike Todd used to own those two theaters when they were called the Dearborn Street Station as movie theaters. And they were the first CinemaScope movie theaters in Chicago. Mike Todd was, again, just sort of this visionary showman who figured out when in the 1950s, when movies were really going down because of the advent of television, how do we make theater better? How do we make movies better? And he was one of the advocates for the surround, where you would sit in the movie theater and the screens would surround you. Not sure if that's what you're going for, but Mike Todd is a hugely influential producer in American showbiz.
And also, Kayla, in Chicago, apparently you, or at least Elizabeth Taylor, spent a lot of time doing other things, including hiding from the media, dancing down an alley, and then seeing some jazz music at some clubs, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, that really happened. A lot of the events that you will see in this show, you know, they were taken from real-life events and her escapades with Mike Todd. That exactly refers to them being at his movie theaters and then dodging the press after leaving restaurants downtown Chicago and catching some jazz and some blues downtown. And I mean, all of that happened. And I think it's a great connection with this piece to the Chicago area. I mean, people will recognize those references, and I'm sure people have also experiences, you know, those things of seeing jazz downtown. And what fun to be a movie star, though, right? Incognito, like sneaking into a screen of your own movie and no one knows that you're in the theater watching Giant and the star's right behind you. How fun.
Yeah. You know, I've got the question for you, though, from a listener right now who texted this question. Are you ready, Kayla?
Oh, yes.
Okay. This is a tough one. So you said Mike Todd was a love of his life. How about the Richard Burton guy who she married twice? So which was the real love of Elizabeth Taylor's life?
Oh, that's a hard question. And I think even she was hard put to really answer that. I mean, some people say, you know, she and Mike Todd would have divorced sooner or later, given their tempestuous kind of love. They were very raucous together and were prone to shouting matches and very physically demonstrative. So it was very, very tempestuous. But when Richard Burton came along, I mean, Mike had been gone a few years, and I think with him, she found someone to build upon what she had found with Mike and really came into that marriage with him as an equal. Actually, she did more for Richard Burton for his career than he ever would for her. And so he felt, in a way, you know, indebted to her for his success as a movie star. And he also, in turn, helped her tap into more of an intellectual side, exposing her to Shakespeare and all the great actors of the British stage. So I think their marriage was more one of equals, whereas Mike Todd just kind of exposed Elizabeth to this whole new world of producing and being a showman. So they both gave her a little something different.
Speaking of exposing, Michael, I'm purposely not asking Kayla this question. Is it real champagne she's drinking on stage? And you do get the impression that even back then, Elizabeth, I mean, she's popping pills and she's doesn't stop drinking the champagne. And it's clear that we're not talking about 3 in the morning or 10 at night. We're talking more like 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, this was, again, in a time period when taking pills that were frequently prescribed by their movie studios themselves. I mean, Judy Garland is one of the, you know, the great stories of, you know, pills to wake her up, pills to put her back to sleep. This was a different era before we really understood the power of abusive nature and results of drugs. And, you know, Kayla's a great actor. I think I'm going to guess she was acting that champagne, but she can tell you that herself. But, yeah, it really does dramatize a very particular era. And you look back, I mean, anything we've read about, you know, Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack and all of those guys, it was a party going on 24/7. And that's just the way they rolled. You know, these were night creatures, except, you know, in the case of Elizabeth, she also had kids.
Yeah.
And she was a mom, you know, and... So these were hardy people. They ate life up from morning till night.
Did she really not like Kayla Marilyn Monroe?
She didn't really have any opinion on her. I think they were like yin and yang. Like Marilyn was the hot blonde and Elizabeth was the dark haired beauty. So they both kind of had their own corner of the publicity market. But I know Elizabeth, you know, she grew up in the studio system, and I know she considered herself a product of MGM, whereas Marilyn kind of was made. Marilyn was this mythical thing that was created by Fox. So I think Elizabeth felt that she was more of a real person than the facade that we know as Marilyn Monroe to an extent. And yes, that was sparkling grape juice. It was not real champagne.
don't tell your trade secrets.
That's right. You give us whatever story you want to give us. That's okay. Yeah. So how can people see Call Me Elizabeth?
Michael? Absolutely. If you just go to porchlightmusictheater.org, that's the Porchlight website. You can get the link there. You can purchase it, and it'll download right away. You can watch it easily at your convenience, either on your television, on your laptop, whichever works for you. It's really simple. Porchlight Music Theater with an RE.org.
You know, a little later in the program, we'll be talking about opening up. Everything's opening up, but will you need a passport to demonstrate I'm vaccinated before you go in? Do you have any idea? You don't need to answer that. I don't want to put you on the spot that way, but do you have any idea when Porchlight Music Theater will be opening up? I mean, in person for us to actually see productions.
Well, and that's a very good point because, you know, Chicago is one of the great theater towns of the world. I think we're all really hoping for fall. I think that you're going to be seeing, I mean, Steppenwolf Theater just made an announcement, but I think you're going to be seeing more theaters announcing for like September, October. And that's where we're hoping for also at Porchlight around, you know, the October, November, getting ready to go into the holidays. We'll be making some announcements soon, but I think that it's probably safe to say that's what everybody is really hoping for and shooting for.
Yeah, that's what Broadway says they're shooting for as well. But we have our own Broadway in Chicago, some great theaters. Porchlight Music Theater is one of those. Call Me Elizabeth is the show we're talking about. Actress Kayla Boyle, you are amazing. I'll just call you Elizabeth Taylor from now on.
And you're very kind.
And Michael Weber, artistic director, thank you both very much.
Thanks so much.